Hello. Thank you for listening to Sun Sounds. This is volunteer reader Mary Tolan, and I'm reading today from the White Mountain Independent. First headline reads, Trump Administration Freezes Wildfire Fuels Project by Peter Alshire, Consulting Publications Editor. The continuing upheaval in the federal government has brought about a halt in funding for wildfire fuels reduction projects and the cancellation of the February meeting of the Natural Resources Working Group. Eastern Arizona County's manager Pascal Berlio notified the group that Forest Service officially has been temporarily barred from attending any public meeting. Meanwhile, Arizona Senators Ruben Gallego and Mark Kelly joined 10 other Western senators in signing a letter protesting the administration's freeze of funding for already approved thinning projects designed to protect communities from wildfires. A federal hiring freeze has also stalled firefighter hiring and preparation for the wildfire season. The freeze was to have exempted public safety positions, but the National Federation of Federal Employees said federal firefighters have had job offers rescinded in recent weeks or had start times pushed back. The Emergency Operations Center sponsors the Natural Resources Working Group, which seeks to protect communities in northeastern Arizona from wildfire while nurturing a struggling timber industry. Quote, considering the existing state of flux regarding some federal programs' possible fiscal review, the current pause of some federal spending, the existing continuing resolution expiring on March 14th, the recent federal hiring freeze, etc., it makes entire sense that the USFS may be looking at reducing the opportunities for speculative or otherwise potentially misleading discussions with local personnel not informed of the agency's directions for the near future, Berlio said in an email to the group. He continued, we fully understand this and we support avoiding conjectural and essentially unproductive hypotheticals. In consequence, the February NRWG meeting scheduled for Tuesday, February 18th is canceled. We look forward to resuming our meetings on March 18th, assuming things have clarified by then. The Natural Resources Working Group regularly brings together Forest Service officials, local elected officials, timber industry representatives, and environmental groups and forest advocates. The group has played a critical role in salvaging and nurturing a small tree diameter timber industry in the White Mountains. This made it possible to thin tens of thousands of acres of buffer zones around forested communities like Payson and Sholo. The letter from Gallego, Kelly, and other senators strongly protested the halt in already funded forest restoration projects. The senators wrote, these stop work orders and funding freezes jeopardize communities that depend on a robust federal response to our wildfire crisis. A Bureau of Land Management spokesman told the Arizona Republic that the halt only applies to projects funded through the Biden administration's Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Loggers have a narrow window of opportunity to complete thinning projects before fire conditions force the closure of the forest to further work. Almost unheard of December, January, and February fires on the face of the Mogollon Rim and near Prescott have already burned more than 10,000 acres and forced evacuations. That includes the Pine Flats fire that prompted evacuations near Prescott last week. Kelly said in an email comment, catastrophic wildfires are a permanent threat in Arizona. That's why we need to employ every tool we can to prevent and fight them. Several lawsuits have been filed contending the administration doesn't have the legal authority to simply not spend money already appropriated by Congress, absent some compelling reason the money can't be spent. The Infrastructure Act has committed funding to ensure that BLM could reduce dangerous fuel levels on 1 million acres of federal land each year. Sholo, Pinetop, Payson, and other northern Arizona communities are rated as among the highest-risk wildfire areas in the country. Numerous studies indicate that forest thinning projects, controlled burns, and fire-adapted building and brush-clearing codes remain the best protection against the kind of catastrophic fires that swept through California. Thinning projects that were part of the White Mountain Stewardship Project are widely credited with saving both Alpine and Springerville from destruction by fires. The next headline reads, Zenni Home Facility in Snowflake Promises Housing Relief, Jobs, by Scott I. Gold, special to The Independent. It's exciting what is coming, said Navajo County District 3 Supervisor Jason Whiting at a recent Snowflake Town Council meeting, referring to Zenni Home's decision to site a significant manufacturing plant in Snowflake, offering, quote, a partnership program we have coming that will produce over 450 direct and 800 indirect jobs in the White Mountain area, and at the same time, build affordable homes that will be sold all over the Southwest. Zenni Homes has already broken ground at the historic paper mill property on the edge of Snowflake. When construction is complete, the facility will be able to build and produce 20 homes per day, ranging from a studio to a three-bedroom, two-bath home. The costs of these homes will be lower than stick-and-mortar construction and can be built with HVAC and appliance packages. The homes appear similar to conventional manufactured homes, but are more robustly built and feature interior spaces that can be modified as needed to change the nature of rooms. For instance, beds can be retracted into ceilings and entire walls can be moved around to change the amount of floor space available. Units will come in a range from a 320-square-foot model to a three-bedroom, two-bath, 1,280-square-foot model. Prices for the fully configured models will range from $90,000 to $200,000. Bob Worsley, CEO of Zenni Home, said, "These units are not stick-built. They are made of steel and are the most fire-resistant homes you could build. We will be able to build and ship units right from the Snowflake plant, build homes, and load onto a train car fast." The homes can be built in a fraction of the time it takes to build a conventional home. "These are not mobile homes," Worsley said. "These homes are steel, bolted, and welded structures that will meet or exceed county or city requirements. They are built to UBC and other code standards." Units will be loaded onto trains for delivery, initially into the nearby Apache railway line, then offloaded onto trucks at the nearest location to the final destination and delivered to the assembly site. Included in the homes are heating, ventilation, air conditioning packages, and appliance packages such as dishwashers, refrigerators, ovens, and stoves. They can even come furnished if the customer desires, and come with as-built plans that will be acceptable for submission to county and city building departments. Each home will also have smart home technology to make daily living more convenient, along with energy efficiency and design to incorporate as much natural light as possible. All homes are designed and constructed to be hurricane resistant and built to withstand earthquakes and heavy snow loads. They can be stacked up to 5 levels. Company will be using just-in-time manufacturing practices, having suppliers deliver materials on demand, reducing inventory levels. The goal is to, quote, build a quality and affordable home that is built like a car, at least 10% cheaper, 70% faster, and with 90% less waste, Worsley said. Zenni Home had already hired a number of local job seekers and will be hiring more. Most positions at the company are trained at the facility. Jobs will include 450 on-site at the Snowflake plant facility and more than 800 jobs for truck drivers, sales force, and other positions. Brian Layton, Navajo County Manager, said the economic impact to the area will be very significant. For more information about Zenni Home, visit zennihome.com. Job seekers may also look for available positions at the website. That's Zenni Home, ZENNIHOME.com. Built and established in the early 1960s and operated for more than 50 years, the Snowflake Paper Mill primarily produced paper products from local timber. It was also the sole large-scale recipient of waste paper in the Rocky Mountain region. The mill was the largest employer in the area, with up to 300 people on the workforce. It was sold to Catalyst in 2008 and ceased operations in 2012, largely due to decreased demand for new paper products in the face of increased recycling. The mill is on 19,000 acres and has 2 power plants. The area around the mill is known for its scenic beauty and outdoor activities. There have been many efforts to preserve the history of the mill and its impact on the community. Brad Worsley, son of Bob Worsley, is the president of the Novo Biopower facility, which is also located on the mill property. Bob Worsley, a past Arizona State Senate member and founder of SkyMall, is excited about the new manufacturing facility at the mill. While the biomass burning facilities will continue with the same use, the old paper mill building has been retooled to accommodate the needs of the new Zenni Home plant for home construction. Due to the historic use of the mill property, there were some environmental challenges that needed to be mediated. Through a grant from the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, many of the problems have been outlined and are being addressed. The mill sits on 19,000 acres and again has 2 power plants. Zenni Home started out 5 years ago. Originally, the company was looking at building in China, but Worsley really wanted to build in the U.S., and while production costs might have been less if it was in China, shipping was almost impossible. Worsley looked at a number of other locations and said it came down to one thing. Where do people need jobs? They started with a facility in Page, Arizona, building homes for destinations all over the Southwest, including the Navajo Nation, and it didn't take long for demand to outstrip supply. Worsley had experience in Snowflake, knew quality jobs were needed in the area, and he had a connection to the real estate. He said that they will continue to build homes for the Navajo Nation at the Page plant and build homes for sale in other locations out of the Snowflake plant. There will be more than $65 million invested in the new facility. To work out the manufacturing details, Worsley brought in Michael Schreisted, a previous Tesla plant project supervisor of over 15 facilities. Planning and project implementation of the Zenni Homes plant on the historic paper mill property has already taken place. The renovation of the old paper mill structures will be completed this summer, and they are expected to be building homes before the end of the summer. Thank you for listening to Sun Sounds. The next headline reads, Local Arizona representative introduces bill to rein in industrial wind farms in rural Arizona by Jen Moriera, staff writer. For nearly a year, the residents of Apache and Navajo counties have waged a grassroots battle against the proposed Lava Run wind farm project. Now, their efforts have translated into legislative action. House Bill 2223 by Representative David Marshall aims to tighten regulations on wind farms development in Arizona, potentially halting projects like Lava Run in their tracks. Stop Lava Run movement is a coalition of ranchers, homeowners, and environmental advocates. Since April of 2024, community members have packed town halls, contacted legislators, and submitted extensive public comments opposing Lava Run, citing environmental degradation, property devaluation, and threats to local wildlife. The movement's effect was felt at the recent House Natural Resources, Energy, and Water Committee hearing, where House Bill 2223 was debated. The bill establishes stricter requirements for wind farms development in Arizona. Key provisions include 6-mile buffer zones between wind farms and private properties, unless owners consent in writing, 12-mile setbacks from residential zoned areas, mandatory financial sureties from developers to cover cleanup, decommissioning, and restoration costs, public hearing requirements to increase transparency and local input, restrictions on ownership transfers requiring county approval for any change in wind farm ownership, and property owner compensation for any loss in value due to wind farm construction. For projects like Lava Run, these requirements would make the development nearly impossible. At the committee hearing, Marshall emphasized that the bill was written in direct response to community concerns. He argued that Arizona's current laws fail to protect rural residents from wind projects that are often fast-tracked with little oversight. He said, "The people of Apache and Navajo counties have made it clear they do not want industrial wind farms forced upon their communities without their consent. HB 2223 ensures that they have a say in what happens to the land, their land." Marshall's bill received backing from 6 out of the 10 committee members, including Representatives Pamela Carter, Nick Cooper, Ralph Heap, Teresa Martinez, Chris Lopez, and Committee Chair Gail Griffin. Supporters argue the bill ensures accountability, while opponents contend it unfairly targets wind energy. Sandy Barr of the Sierra Club opposed the bill. She said, "This measure really, I think, appears to be in response to one bad project, and writing legislation based on one bad project usually is not good public policy." She noted that counties already have the authority to regulate wind projects and described the bill as, quote, anti-property rights, unquote, due to its restrictive provisions. Representative Cupper pointed out that an estimated 200,000 blades are currently in operation, with 12,000 more added annually, many lacking proper decommissioning plans. He pressed Barr on the industry's failure to implement a solid recycling strategy, questioning whether policies should address this growing issue. Barr defended wind energy's role. "Climate change kills a heck of a lot more wildlife than any wind turbine ever will," she said. Wink Krigler, owner of X Diamond Ranch, warned of wind farms' effect on grazing land and water resources. "One turbine requires 80 acres. With 112 turbines, that's 14 sections of land that could feed countless animals," he said. John Crawford raised concerns about long-term environmental costs, citing abandoned wind farms in California and Hawaii. He also questioned wind energy's water usage. I heard somebody say earlier it doesn't use water. Please do your research. It uses a ton of water. We just don't have it up there, he said. Springerville Mayor Shelley Reedhead attended the session but did not have a designated speaking slot. A vocal opponent of Lava Run, she has played a role in rallying local opposition. Springerville was the first town to send letters in opposition to Apache County and state representatives. Reflecting on the hearing, Springerville Mayor Reedhead emphasized the need for greater public awareness. I'm grateful the bill passed through committee. It's the first step in a long process, she said. One thing I learned from being present at the hearing is we need to do a better job at educating people, both representatives and the public, about the true damage wind turbines caused. Martinez said she supported the bill, arguing that wind energy is unreliable in Arizona compared to states like California and New Mexico. She likened it to past environmental missteps, such as the transition from paper to plastic bags. Windmills are a swing and a miss. They don't produce enough energy to make real impact in Arizona. We need reliable energy that works every day, not intermittently. If the federal government truly believed in wind energy, they would place these projects on federal land, Martinez said. Carter also voiced strong support for the bill. I love the state. I love its sunsets. I love its beauty. My family has a long history here as ranchers and landowners, and I have a deep respect for Arizona. I don't want to see our land desecrated with this type of technology, she said. However, Pashlaki cast a decisive no vote. I am indigenous to this area, and I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of generations my family has lived here, Pashlaki said. But I come from an area where we have been removed. So even though I am a refugee in my own land, I love my country. And now I know, you know how it feels to live on land that you think you're being invaded in different ways. So I love my country, and therefore I vote nay, a strong nay. The bill passed the committee on a 6-4 vote, moving the bill to the full House for further debate and voting. The next headline reads, Flu outbreak continues in Navajo and Apache counties, by Peter Elishire, Consulting Publications Editor. Navajo County flu cases this season have remained well above normal this winter, but recently have started to decline. The county has reported 1,077 lab-confirmed cases this season. That includes 42 cases for the week ending February 2nd, a 42% decrease from the previous week. That's about one-third higher than the normal number of flu cases based on the five-year average, according to the Arizona Department of Health Services. About 17% of the cases this season are among people older than 65 who face the highest risk group for severe disease or death. That compares to 11% in a normal year. Apache County has a higher rate of infections at 1,550 for the season in a smaller population than neighboring Navajo County. The infection rate so far has been 56% above the five-year average. However, the 64 cases reported for the week ending on February 2nd represented a 44% decrease from the previous week. About 12% of the flu cases were among people older than 65, compared to 9% in a normal year. The Federal Centers for Disease Control recommends annual flu shots for everyone older than 6 months unless they have a medical reason to avoid the shot, like a previous allergic reaction. The flu causes an estimated 6,300 to 52,000 deaths in the U.S. annually and infects between 10 million and 40 million Americans, causing between 120,000 and 710,000 hospitalization, depending on the strain. Flu deaths this year appeared to have surpassed COVID for the first time since the virus was initially detected. For the week ending January 25th, the flu accounted for 1.7% of all deaths nationwide, compared to 1.5% for COVID. Flu-related hospitalizations are three times as high as COVID hospitalizations this year, according to preliminary CDC data. The CDC estimates the virus may have already killed 65,000 people in the U.S. this season, with numbers still rising in many areas. The rapid spread of the normal human flu virus this year is a separate concern from the spread of the H5N1 strain of bird flu among chickens and dairy herds. The current H5N1 strain spreads readily from animal to animal and has infected 100 humans through contacts with animals. So far, it can't spread from human to human. It has caused just one death so far, according to the CDC. Navajo and Apache counties are also having a bad year when it comes to respiratory syncytial virus, another respiratory virus especially dangerous to older people and infants and adults with heart and breathing problems. Navajo County has reported 121 cases of RSV this winter. That includes 33 cases for the week of February 2nd, the most recent reporting period. That's double the normal tally for the month and a 10% increase from the previous week. Apache County has a higher rate of infection with RSV, with 128 lab-confirmed cases so far this season. However, the 21 cases reported the week of February 2nd represented a 25% decrease from the five-year average. Some 16% of cases are among adults older than 65, and 60% among children in Apache County, according to the Arizona Department of Health Services. The Federal Centers for Disease Control recommends the RSV vaccine for all adults older than 75 and any adults aged 60 to 75 in high-risk groups, including people with risk factors like heart and lung disease. Even in a normal year, RSV causes between 123,000 and 193,000 hospitalizations for severe disease in the U.S. annually. The virus causes between 2,000 and 4,700 deaths annually, most of them among people older than 75. Infection rates this year remain far above normal.